Hi, everyone. You're listening to Faith Family Worship Center's podcast number 136 for August 15, 2010. In this podcast, Pastor Archie will be sharing his message titled Restoring Broken Relationship. Enjoy.
The Lord is good. Amen. You're all welcome here, and we're so glad that you're here worshiping with us, especially our guest. And I see a young lady here by Zamona from Toronto, right? Okay. So God bless you, and let's stand up together as we go to the Word of God. Let's open our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I will talk about restoring broken relationships today. Amen. There's a relationship that needs to be restored. This message is for you. All right. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting with verse 18 to 21. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Father, again, Lord, we thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, for your blessing, anointing, guidance, from your word, O God, and I pray, Lord, that you would give us revelation knowledge of what you want us to do regarding our relationships. And thank you, Lord, for you love us so much that you gave your Son, Jesus Christ, to reconcile us to God. And now, Lord, because of that, you have given us the ministry of reconciliation. Not only the message, but the ministry of reconciliation. So help us, O God, to be reconciled, first of all, to you and towards one another. Work, O God, in our lives. In Jesus' name, and everybody says, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Now, I would like to ask to begin by asking a question. What is the most valuable, important thing to God? Any idea? To be rich? To be happy? To be blessed? These are all good. These are all the side benefits. But the most important thing to God is relationship. And of course, the first relationship that we need to take care of is our relationship to Him, to God, our vertical relationship. And secondly, our horizontal relationship, one with one another, between a husband and wife, between the brothers and brothers, sisters and sisters, between the body of Christ, between one another. Now, one day, an expert in the law asked the Lord Jesus Christ, he asked this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. If you look at the Bible, this is the summary of what the Bible wants from all of us. To love God and to love one another. Now, these two commandments are the first two purposes of our life. Our first purpose is to love God. That's the most important purpose that we have, and that it speaks about worship. So loving God is worship. Secondly, loving others is our next important purpose. And that's what the Bible calls fellowship. Fellowship, remember that. In our start of the book by Rick Warren, we have five purposes. Remember those? Number one is worship. Number two is fellowship. Number three is what? Discipleship, which means being mature in Christ, growing in Christ. Number four is what? Ministry. Ministering towards one another. Loving one another. Using our gifts to minister to the needs of everybody in the body of Christ. And fifthly is what? Evangelism. Our mission to the world. Mission to the world. God has not only called us to enjoy the four confines of a church or fellowship, but God wants us to what? Go out there and bring the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That is the what? The great commission. God has commissioned us to become an impactor in the lives of others, to bring the love of God and transform lives. Now, because life is all about learning how to love God, God wants us to value relationships and to make every effort to maintain them instead of what? Discarding relationships whenever there is a rift, whenever there is a conflict, or a heart. Relationships are always worth restoring. Can you say that with me? Relationships are always worth restoring. And that's what Jesus did for us. In fact, the Bible tells us that God has given us the ministry of restoring broken relationships. That's why a significant amount of the New Testament is devoted to teach us how to get along with one another. How to get along with one another. And Paul says, or wrote in Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 to 2 says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Holy Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one spirit and purpose. Now, what Paul is saying here is that because we are united with Christ, because we have received His love, and because we're in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, Paul is saying as it is important, it is necessary, it's a natural result of a relationship with Christ that we should have what? The same mind, the same love, and should have the same spirit and purpose. Can you say amen? Amen. That is the focus of what Paul is talking about here. Now, Jesus said, by this, all men that will know that you are my disciples indeed, if you what? Love one another. The proof that we are followers of Christ, The proof that you are a disciple of Christ is because we love one another. Amen? Actually, if you don't love, you don't have God. If you don't have love in your hearts, you are still in death. That's what John is talking about in 1 John chapter 3. It says, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. The proof that you are a child of God, that you have been saved, that you've been transformed from the kingdom of Satan or darkness into the kingdom of his Son, Jesus Christ, is because of the love that you have for one another. Amen? Now, since Christ wants his family to be known for our love for each other, broken fellowship is a disgraceful testimony to unbelievers. How would unbelievers say to us, how can we witness for Christ effectively if we are fighting, we are gossiping, we are slandering against one another? The unbelievers would say, oh, they are fake. They're not real Christian. Right? So that's why Paul was so embarrassed that the members of the church in Corinth were splitting or dividing into warring factions and even suing each other in court. That's why he said to them, I say this to shame you. Is it possible that there's nobody among you wise enough to judge a dispute between believers? He was so shocked that no one in the church was mature enough to resolve the conflict peaceably. That's why Paul says again and again, he said, I appeal to you that you agree with one another and be perfectly united in mind and in thought. And that's what God wants us to do today. Amen. He's appealing to us that we should be of one mind and of one heart and one purpose. Now, if you want God's blessing on your life and you want to be known as a child of God, you must learn to be a peacemaker. That's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. It said, blessed are they peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. If you're a peacemaker, that's one of your characteristics as a child of God. Now notice, Jesus did not say, blessed are the peace lovers. Because everybody loves peace, right? He did not say, blessed are the peaceable. Those people who are never disturbed by anything. They're peaceable. But Jesus said, blessed are those who work for peace. Those who actively seek to resolve conflict. Peacemakers are rare because peacemaking is a difficult, hard work. Remember that. Now, because you were formed to be a part of God's family, and the second purpose of your life, as I have mentioned on earth, is to learn how to love and relate to others, peacemaking is one of the skills that we should develop. Amen? And unfortunately, most of us have never been taught how to resolve conflict. Now, peacemaking is not avoiding conflict. Remember that. It's not avoiding conflict. Peace is not the absence of war. Because you can still have the absence of war, but there's war inside of you. So running from a problem, pretending it does not exist, or being afraid to talk about it, actually cowardice. Because Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, was never afraid of conflict. Actually, sometimes it caused conflict among the Pharisees. And sometimes we need to avoid conflict, yes. Sometimes we need to create it. And sometimes we need to resolve it. That's why we must pray for the Holy Spirit to give us guidance in this area. Now, peacekeeping is not only avoiding conflict, but peacemaking is not appeasement. It's not appeasement. Always giving in, acting like you're a doormat, and allowing others to run over you. It's not what Jesus is talking about here. Because many times Jesus refused to back down. When there was evil, he stood his ground against evil opposition. So it's not appeasement. So the question is how to restore a broken relationship. Because the Bible says, as believers, God has called us to settle our differences with each other. Amen. Actually, Paul says, before the sun gets down, you should settle your difference. You should remove that anger out of your heart, that hostility out of your heart. All right, there are 7 biblical steps to restoring relationship. Number one, you got it in PowerPoint? All right, number one, talk to God before talking to the person. So what do? Pray to the Lord. Discuss the problem to God. If you pray about the conflict first, instead of going to a friend and gossip, all right, you will often discover that either God will change your heart or change the heart of the other person. And all relationships would go smoother if you would just pray more about that relationship. Amen. So talk to God before talking to the person. And that's what, if you look at the book of Psalms, that's what David did when he prayed. He just prayed to God, Lord, this is what my enemy is doing to me. He was saying, if you look at the book of Psalms, he said, they speak, their tongue is smooth like a butter, but their hearts are like sword. So you pray to the Lord, you cry out to God, tell God about your frustrations, and he's never surprised by your heart, by your insecurity, by your other, or even your anger and other emotions. So tell him exactly how you feel. God can handle that. Now, most conflict is rooted in unmet needs. Remember that. Some needs can only be met by God. There are some needs that can only be met by God. That's why when you expect a friend, a husband, a wife, a boss, or a family member to meet a need that only God can fulfill, you are setting yourself for what? Disappointment or bitterness? You have to realize that only God ultimately is the one who can fulfill or meet your need. No one, no man can meet all your needs except God. And the Apostle James noted that many of our conflicts are caused by prayerlessness. Mga problema natin sa buhay, mga conflicts natin is caused by prayerlessness. Hindi tayo nagpre-pray. He says this in James chapter 4. He says it 1 to 2. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you. You want something, but you don't get it. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask. You do not have because you do not ask God. So instead of looking to God, we look to others to make us happy, and then we get angry when they fail us. So God is telling you, why do you come to me first? Right? So let's pray. Let's pray to the Lord first before you talk to the other person. So that's the first step. Talk to God before talking to the other person. Number two, always take the initiative. It doesn't matter whether you are the offender or the offended. God expects you to make the first move. Don't wait for the other party. Go to them first. Amen. Nangyayari sa atin, hinihintay natin yung kabila. To take the first move. God says, no, take the initiative in resolving that broken relationship. That's why Jesus said this in Matthew 18:15. If your brother sins against us, against you, go and show himself his fault just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. So take the initiative. Now, restoring broken fellowship is so important that Jesus commanded that it even takes priority over group worship. It says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 to 24, Jesus said, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. See? If there is a broken relationship between you and a brother or sister, your worship is not received by the Lord. That's why first you reconcile to that person, then offer your gift, offer your worship. So when fellowship is strained or broken, plan a peace conference immediately. Don't postpone it. Don't procrastinate or make excuses and say, sakana. Or I'll get around to it someday. As soon as possible, schedule a face-to-face meeting with the other person. Delay only deepens resentments and makes matters worse. In conflict, time heals nothing. We always say, time will heal something. No, time heals nothing in conflict. Because if you don't take care of it, that heart, that anger, that bitterness will fester like an open wound. It's like an abscess that is not taken care of. It's an open wound. That's why you have to take care of it as soon as possible. Acting quickly also reduces the spiritual damage that you will have if you don't take care of it. The Bible says that sin, including unresolved conflict, blocks our fellowship with God and keeps our prayers from being answered. Amen. Remember that. If you're a person who is unforgiving against somebody who has a broken relationship with you, you are the one who will suffer. You are the one who will suffer because your fellowship with God is blocked and even your prayers will not be answered. Remember that. Of course, plus the fact that you will feel miserable The other prayer team may have forgotten about it, but inside of you, there is this volcano that is ready to erupt. You're miserable. That's why Job's friend reminded him to worry yourself to death with resentment would be a foolish, senseless thing to do. You are only hurting yourself with your anger. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Or ouch. So the success of a peace conference often depends on choosing the right time and the place to meet, right? So don't meet when neither of you are tired, rushed in, or will be interrupted. The best time is that when both of you are at your best. So meet, have a face-to-face meeting as soon as possible, but you must take the initiative. Number three, sympathize with their feelings. Use your ears. That's very important. Use your ears more than your mouth. Can you say amen? That's why God has given us two ears and one mouth, so that we should listen more and speak less. Before attempting to solve any disagreement, you must first listen to people's feelings. Paul advised each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Philippians 2 verse 4. Now, the phrase to look out for here is taken from the Greek word iskopos, from which the words telescope and microscope comes from. It means to pay close attention to. Focus on their feelings, not the facts. Begin with sympathy, not with solutions. Let me repeat that. Focus on their feelings, not the facts. Begin with sympathy. That's why we sympathize with how they feel, not solutions. Don't try to talk people out of how they feel at first. Just listen and let them unload emotionally without being defensive. Nod your head to show that you understand, even though you don't agree. Right? Feelings are not always true or logical. In fact, resentment makes us act and think in foolish ways. That's why mga tao nagalit. You cannot reason with them. Right? Magkurimantado pa yun. Huh? Is that the right Tagalog word? Huh? You cannot reason with them. It's sabi dito sa Bible, when my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. So we act beastly when we get hurt. Now, in contrast, the Bible says this: a man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. Now, kaunting bagay lang na your heart, they hurt your feeling, just forget it. Right? Ang sabi sa Bible? With love, there is what? What? Multitude of sins are forgiven, right? Okay. So, it says here, it is to his glory to overlook an offense. Proverbs 19:11. Patience comes when wisdom, with wisdom, and wisdom comes from hearing the perspective of others. Instead of insisting what you feel. All right? Wisdom comes from hearing the perspective of others. Listening says, I value your opinion. I care about our relationship, and you matter to me. That's why we often hear that cliche, you know, that phrase that we always hear or many times hear, people don't care what we know until they know we care. People don't care what we know until they know we care. That's why it's important that we have to bridge that relationship so that we can reach to them. That's why Paul says to restore fellowship, says this, we must bear the burden of being considerate of the doubts and fears of others. Let us please the other fellow, not ourselves, and do what is for his good. It is a sacrifice to patiently absorb the anger of others, especially if it's unfounded. Unfounded. It's hard. You're being falsely accused. But that's what Jesus did for us. He was falsely accused. He was maligned. He endured unfounded malicious anger in order to save us. The Bible says, for even Christ did not please himself. As it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. If you have been insulted by another person, it's not only falling on you, but it has already fallen on Christ. Amen? You're all quiet. I don't know if you're receiving what I'm saying. Huh? Are you guilty or? You know? Because the Bible is not only for information, it's to transform your lives. Amen? Because ang buhay natin all relationships. That's why we need to restore broken relations. This is practical, folks. Don't wait until heaven when we're all one. Start here. Can all the husbands say yes?
Yes.
Can all the wives say amen?
Amen.
All right. So that's what Jesus did for us. He was falsely accused. He was insulted. That's what the Bible says. He is our example. And what did he do? He did not react. The Bible says he could have called what legions of angels to destroy his enemies. But he did not. They were mocking him on the cross. He said, if you're the Son of God, why not come down and save yourself? Thank God he did not come down. Otherwise, all of us will not have been forgiven. We're still in judgment. So sympathize with the feelings of others. Put your shoes in their shoes. Don't insist you're right. How you feel. All right, number four. Confess your part of the conflict. If you are serious about restoring a relationship, you should begin with admitting your own mistakes or sin. Jesus said it is the way to see things more clearly. You know, his warning in Matthew chapter 7 about being judgmental of others. He says here in Matthew chapter 7 verse 3, he says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. He's talking about us. He's a 4x4 in our eyes. We cannot see. And you want to do an eye surgery and a brother taking out a small dust there in the eye? That's impossible. So when there is a conflict, What we do, we tend to blame the other person instead of admitting our fault. So Jesus is saying here, first remove the 4x4 in your eye so you can see, and remove the speck of dust from your brother's eye. So we should admit our own fault first before pointing to the fault of the other person. Now, lahat tayo may blind spots, right? So we always don't see everything. So what we need to do is we should ask a third party to tell us. Amen? To tell us, evaluate our actions before meeting with the other person. And of course, ask God to show you how much the problem is your fault. So you ask the Lord, am I the problem? Baka ikaw ang problema, hindi yung isa. Right? Or you can ask, am I being too unrealistic? Sometimes we become so perfectionist. We demand perfection when we all selves are not perfect. We expect too much from other people. Unrealistic or insensitive. Ano ba insensitive sa Tagalog? Huh? Okay. Or too sensitive. Insensitive or too sensitive? The Bible says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So, confession is a powerful tool for reconciliation. Often, the way we handle a conflict creates a bigger problem than the original problem itself. So how do you start? You begin humbly, admitting your mistakes. And when you do that, it diffuses the other person's anger and disarms their attack because they're probably expecting you to be defensive. So don't make excuses. Don't shift the blame. You just honestly admit that you own up part of the conflict. Accept your responsibility, your mistake, and ask for forgiveness. Amen. All right, number 5. Attack the problem, not the person. Attack the problem, not the person. You cannot fix the problem if you are consumed with fixing the blame. You have to choose between the two. That's why the Bible says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Proverbs 15:1. You will never get your point across by being cross, by being sarcastic, by being mean, right? A soft answer is always better than a sarcastic one. That's why choose your words carefully. A sign of maturity, a sign of wisdom is, you know, you don't just speak out words that will hurt others, right? So choose your words wisely. So, in resolving conflict, how you say is as important as what you say. That's why if you say it offensively, all right, it will be received defensively. That's why Proverbs 16:21 says, a wise, mature person is known for his understanding. The more pleasant his words, the more persuasive he is. So, wives and husbands, nagging, nagging, nagging never works. And you are never persuasive when you are abrasive or sarcastic. During the Cold War, Russia and America, the two sides in the Cold War, agreed that some weapons were so destructive that they should not be used, never be used, like nuclear bombs, hydrogen bombs. Today, chemical, biological weapons have been are banned also. These stockpiles of nuclear weapons are being reduced and destroyed. So for the sake of fellowship, we must destroy our arsenal or weapons of massive relational nuclear weapons, which include condemning, belittling, and belittling. Minamaliit mo isang tao, right? Ano pa? Comparing. You compare people with one another. And many times that hurts our kid children. If you compare them with another child. Labeling. Ikaw is stupid. Yes. Ikaw walang pinag-aralan. Oh my God, these are terrible. Demeaning, insulting, condescending. What is condescending? You look down on other people. Sarcastic. These are the nuclear weapons in our relationship that should never be used. That's why Paul sums it this way. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. If it doesn't build up somebody, don't say it. Amen. Number 6, we're almost done. Cooperate as much as possible. Paul said, if it is possible, as far as it depends upon you, live at peace with everyone. Peace has always a price tag. And sometimes it costs our pride. It often costs self-centeredness. For the sake of fellowship, do your best to compromise, adjust to others, show preference to what they need. A paraphrase of the Seventh Beatitude says, you are blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of competing or fight. That is when you discover that you who you really are and your place in God's family. And number 7, emphasize reconciliation, not resolution. Reconciliation, not resolution. It is unrealistic to expect everyone to agree about everything. It's unrealistic for everyone to agree about everything. That's why it's important that we focus on reconciliation than resolution. Reconciliation focuses on the relationship, while resolution focuses on the problem. When we focus on the reconciliation, the problem loses significance and often becomes irrelevant. So it focuses not on reconciliation. Amen. We can establish a relationship even when we're unable to resolve our differences. Christians have legitimate, honest disagreements and different opinions. Just ask Christians about politics and they have different opinions. Right? But we can disagree, but not being disagreeable. So, sabi nila, yung diamond daw looks different in many angles, but the same diamond. So God expects unity, not uniformity. So we can walk arm in arm, but not see eye to eye on every issue. But these are secondary. So focus on reconciliation. This doesn't mean that you give up finding a solution. You may continue discussing and even debating, but you do it in the spirit of what? Brotherly love and harmony. So reconciliation, it means you bury the hatchet, the weapon, all right, but not the issue. So let's focus on reconciliation. To summarize, number one, talk to God before you talk to the other person. Number two, always take the initiative. Number three, sympathize with their feelings. Number four, confess your faults of the conflict. Number five, attack the problem, not the person. Number six, cooperate as much as possible. And number seven, emphasize reconciliation, not resolution. Amen. So these are the biblical steps to restoring relationships. So as we close this morning, the question is, who do you need to contact today to restore that relationship, to get right with? With whom do you want to restore that relationship? Don't delay. Don't postpone. And maybe right now as we close, you ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you, right? And talk to God about that person, you have offended or have offended you. So what do you do? You confess your faults and ask forgiveness. And if that person is here this morning, you can go straight to that person after we close the service and restore that relationship. Amen? And that's what revival is all about. Revival is not only removing the roof above us. When I say remove the roof above us, means not only we have an open heaven where God is blessing us, but revival is also what? Removing the walls of division behind us. I mean between us. Amen. We look at the New Testament church, one of the most important characteristics that they had, that they were united. They were one accord in prayer. They were one accord in everything. That's why their impact to the world was powerful. Their testimony was so powerful. And God wants them to have that unity, amen, of heart, of a spirit, so that He can move in us. That's what our scripture reading was today, which says, blessed, how good and pleasant is it for brother to be in unity with one another. It's like the what? The oil that flows down from the head of Aaron to his beard and to his garment. And if you look at that oil that was poured out on Aaron, it was so much. It's a profuse oil pouring out of the Holy Spirit. The oil represents the Holy Spirit in your life. So when we have unity as a body, we will have the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon us. And it says, it's like the dew that falls at the Mount Hermon. And what does dew represent? It represents life. And then it says here, God will command His blessing and life forevermore. You want the blessing of God in your family, in your life, in the life of your children? Be united with one another. Amen. Husband and wife, be united with one another. Parents and children, be united with one another. And for Faith Family Worship Center, let's be one in heart and spirit. Amen. So before the day is over, if there's a broken relationship among us, restore that relationship. Before you even leave this church, restore that relationship. You know, the seven steps are simple, but they are not easy. They are not easy. It takes a lot of effort, work to restore a relationship. That's why Paul says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And Peter also adds, work hard at living in peace with others. It's a work that we must keep and maintain. Amen. But when we work for peace, we're doing what God wants us to do. That's why God calls us His children if we are peacemakers. Amen? Are you willing to do that? Amen? Let's stand up together.
And that was Pastor Archie on his message titled Restoring Broken Relationship. If you'd like to join us for our Sunday service, our address is 6535 West Berry Avenue in Chicago, Illinois. You can reach us on our phone. The number is 773-888-3392. And you can reach us online at ffwcchicago.com. Until next time, take care and God bless. Bye.